Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. I have several friends who are alumni of the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. This great institution allows cadets to further their education and earn a commission in our military if they wish to do so, which about one in three do. Ranked as the number one public college in the South, the Citadel also offers master's degrees, graduate certificates online or on campus. If you're looking for a bachelor or master's degree, this just might be the college for you. Check citadel.edu. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, Colonel Jeremy Latchaw will discuss drones, both civilian and military. Then we'll learn what a Beezy board can do for injured or disabled veterans. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. Groups, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel Jeremy Latchaw to the show. Like me, Jeremy's an infantryman, but he's also a real expert in the area of drones, which I'm definitely not. Indeed, that's his business. So, welcome to the show, Jer.
Hey, thanks for inviting me.
Jeremy, talk to us about your military service. I think you are a battalion commander at the moment. How'd you get there?
I am. I'm a battalion commander of the reserves. Got there starting with ROTC at Western Michigan University. I'm a 2000 graduate of Hope College, commissioned in 2000. Went to Air Defense Artillery first, got stuck into the infantry out of that, ironically, as a Bradley platoon leader, and then got off of active duty after my first tour. Got recalled during the 2007-08 surge, and then just stayed in the reserves after that. Now I'm the battalion commander for the 3rd Battalion, 330th Infantry out of Waterford, Michigan, which is the infantry OSIT augmentation for the reserves. So we go down to Benning.
Fort Benning.
Fort Benning.
Benning School for Boys.
That's right.
And girls now.
That's right.
Okay. How did you get involved with drones? Were you always interested in planes, or how did this happen?
So, well, yeah, I wish I was a pilot and all that stuff. A lot of us are wannabes. But when it goes back to when I got off to active duty, I started working with a contractor there at Fort Riley. And we started doing integration of new technology for the warfighter. So how do we get this new technology integrated into the systems and common procedures that are already happening in the infantry at the squad level? So one of those things was robots, right? Ground robots. How do we throw them in a room? How do we use it for recon? How do we get it for the IEDs, right? So I started with that, training, integration of those type systems. Then when I moved back to Michigan, because I wanted to, I looked around to see if anybody was doing that at a public safety realm, and nobody was. And I saw somebody at a smart city, you know, new integration of technologies into cities. So it's kind of the same thing I was doing in the military. And a guy was there with drones, and he was getting a common operational picture for a large city and for public safety and first responders to react to an active shooter. And it just clicked off. Like, hey, that's perfect. That's something that needs to happen. First responders need this. It would save lives and get a better picture of the environment that these guys are going into. And the military was doing it for, at that point, 10 years at least. And public safety is still starting to pick up steam, but they're still not everybody has them yet.
Well, that makes huge sense for all first responders, whether it's an ambulance or a fire truck or whatever. What is it you're going to? Because I think, as we were discussing earlier, if you're at a fire station and you get an alarm, you don't know if to send every truck or what truck. You send a drone over, you know what's. It's right. A one-car accident, or it's a 50-car accident, or it's a building on fire, or what.
Right.
It's huge, and it takes almost no time, right?
Yeah. How big's the fire? Where's the hot spots of that fire? You know, all that stuff. And now with the thermal images on the drone itself, you can tell if the rooftop is overwhelmed and not to send somebody on top, right? Uh-huh. Before, they would take the ladder truck up, somebody would go up and potentially fall through the roof. With a drone, you can tell, nope, that's not the way we want to go. The structure's not sound.
Wow. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing drones with Colonel Jeremy Latchaw. Okay, Jer, so that's just one of the ways that cities can use them for first responder type activities. There must be other things, too.
Oh, yeah. So, well, obviously we can use them for delivery, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that you see the Amazon doing that all the time. How do we put packages underneath these and deliver it? That last extra mile. So really that's where the business focus is. A lot, at least in the news and media. Other businesses, I've talked to a forestry company that does all the power lines. They blaze the trails for the power lines. And how do I use herbicides? And the guy on the ground has to spray it, right? And all the respirator and whatever else he has to put on to go down there and use the herbicide. Now with a drone, you just get out there and spray it. So that's a higher level one.
Sure.
But, you know, at some point, those are coming.
Well, and I would imagine that periodically you've got to inspect power lines.
Right.
And what easier way to do it than fly a drone over it?
Yep. So there's a lot of utilities companies using the high power line inspections with thermals. The windmills, the large windmills, they're inspecting because now they don't have to send a guy up to count the rivets or whatever else they do. Now they can send a drone up with a high powered optical zoom lens and be able to take pictures of the whole thing and do the analysis on the back end.
You know, this makes way too much sense. And again, as we were discussing before, this is just the very beginning of technology of this nature in military and civilian life, isn't it?
Right. So the civilian-wise, it's really only been the last 3 years since the technology has been stable enough for anybody to fly it. Before that, it was very hard for somebody to fly it. So really, it's 3-4 years old.
And who knows where it's going to go, but certainly the military is, like in most technology, blazing the way by getting out there and crashing around and doing things. You know, there's just so much potential here. Now, does your company make drones or talk about how to use them? Or what does your company do?
So it goes back to the integration thing I was doing with the military. We integrate the technology. So I procure it, sell it, help integrate into current practices. So, and it can be from anything. Well, really, it's anything. So one of the customers I'm using is, how do I integrate a spectrum analyzer onto a drone so I can do cell tower inspection and find the dead space? So that's the problem. My company goes in and helps solve that problem. Here's the technology to put on the drone. Here's what it looks like. Okay, now let's go out and do the techniques and procedures around that cell tower. What does that look like? To include the safety procedures to be able to find the dead space without having to take a bucket truck up.
Uh-huh.
Bring it down, go to the next little spot, put another bucket truck up, put it down, you know. So now it's going to cut time immensely.
And safety.
Safety's huge, you know.
This is just amazing. And, of course, the military, which we'll talk about in a minute, has a lot more things that you can do. We're just starting to see what drones can do. And there's the safety aspect to them, too. I mean, how do we keep them from flying into each other? Right now, there aren't that many of them, I would guess, in one space at one time. Has that been an issue so far?
Them crashing?
Yeah.
Well, they do. The way I look at it, it's kind of like flying with the Wright brothers a little bit.
Okay.
So you got maybe the World War One era where you're flying it. Some of the guys chuckle and say, if you haven't crashed a drone, you're really not a drone pilot. You know, because the technology with the GPS and that, it's good. It probably won't happen, but it's still unstable, right? So the firmware, even firmware on the batteries, if that goes wrong, it could shut the whole aircraft down and crash. So there's still some glitches in it that need to be worked out.
Well, there's an old saying, if you get a consultant, don't get one that's never failed. Because everybody fails at some point.
That's right.
Get somebody who knows how to...
how to crash so they crash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Find the right spot to crash. Smooth it on in.
Hey, if I'm on the plane and it's crashing, you find the right spot, please.
That's right. Well, you know, hey, you want a pilot that's done it before, or do you want a pilot that hasn't, right? You want somebody that knows how, nowhere to land.
You got it, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to start the next segment with military use of drones. So there's a lot more we're going to discuss, and Jeremy is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, I want you to balance on one foot for 2 minutes and balance on the other foot for 2 minutes. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. Jeremy and I will be right back.
Ho, HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Most home invasions occur when people are at work between the hours of 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Because of this, we highly recommend the installation of a home security video surveillance system. These systems are easy to install and cost only a few hundred dollars. They allow you to monitor your home while you're at work via your computer or cell phone. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Wouldn't it be great to see your windows in a whole new light? Do it right. Call your local neighborhood experts. Budget Blinds. You'll get beautiful style and personalized service for every budget. We bring the showroom right to your home, so you can choose from hundreds of blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes. Plus smart home window coverings you control with the touch of a button. And with Budget Blinds, we do it all for you. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. There's a reason why Budget Blinds is the number one provider of custom window coverings in North America. When we say we have style and service for every budget, we really mean it. So let's get your home a whole lot of gorgeous. Get your free consultation right at home. Just go online to budgetblinds.com or call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS for your free consultation right at home. Now that's beautiful. At participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation on drones with Colonel Jeremy Latshaw. So drones in the military, we're using them for all kinds of things right now. And more importantly, I think, our rivals, Russia, China, and others, are using them too. So in my day in combat in Vietnam, we owned the air. It was in the air. It was ours. That's not true anymore, is it?
Right. So there's different altitudes you think about, especially air defenders out there. You'll know what I'm talking about. But you have low altitude and high altitude. And now you kind of have a mid-range as well. So the low altitude and the mid-range, that's where the drones get to play, right? So there's commercial off-the-shelf drones that ISIS has been known to use that basically drop grenades. And there's videos out there on the internet that you just watch the drone come in and you'll watch an Iraqi National Guard guy trying to shoot it down. And he can't hit it, right, because it's small. It's about the size of a book. So you're trying to hit this target, and all he's got to do is drop his grenade, right? And then the radius of it takes out who knows how many people. So that's all they're doing at a low altitude. So how do I knock that down? And then the medium altitude stuff, that's where Russia, China are playing, and that's where we play as well. The drone strikes that you hear about usually come from that altitude.
Well, of course, a mortar or artillery round is cheaper than flying a grenade with a drone. But it's you can direct it a little more accurately, can't you?
Right. Yeah, it's just to sling it. And you got a camera on it. You point it straight down.
Push the button.
It push
drops.
A button and it falls. Pin pulls, right, when the button goes. And
yeah.
And there you go. And it's cheap, $1,000 solution or whatever is kind of the going rate. And there's a lot of things that the manufacturers try to do to make that so it didn't happen. But, of course, there's ways around everything. So.
Yeah.
It's still risk, high risk, really, especially those that are out there on the front lines in Afghanistan and Iraq. I mean, it's been known to happen. So,
well, and I was reading that there's now a jet fighter that can fly. It's unmanned, but it can fly in formation with manned fighters. So I guess that's a super drone.
Oh, yeah. super unmanned, yep.
But how does that work? Clearly, having a human being aboard can help you make instant decisions and analysis better in some cases.
Right.
But maybe having electronic evaluation makes sense too. Where are we going with this manned versus unmanned? Do you think we're ever going to be totally unmanned?
Well, it's going to get interesting. There's a lot of books out there that talk about the unmanned world, especially in the military, and what that means. And usually it comes back down to power. Who's got the capabilities? And any drone pilot will tell you the one limitation is power, right? Because the batteries die and I'm done. So it's the same for any of the drone aircraft, ground or air. How do I get power to that system? And then how does it interact with all the other systems in that space? Drone swarms is a big one that the military right now is focused on. And how do I use those things to counter as well as hit targets? Because it's hard to hit 20, 30 of these things. How do I stick them all together? And autonomously, they learn from each other while they're in the air, right? And they focus on whatever that target is. And they learn about where everybody is and how do I hit that target. So the technology there is basically artificial intelligence. And then they talk to each other. It's crazy.
You know, and all this has something to do, too, with, this is slightly off topic, unmanned cars, driverless cars. That scares me more than aerial drones, because at least they've got a third dimension they can move in. But this is where everything's headed, isn't
it? And the military's got a high, their unmanned convoy ops that they're actually doing in Detroit is being worked right now. And a lot of it's the safety mechanism of how does the craft in front communicate with the craft behind, right? I talked to a lot of the safety guys, and it's all about that communication link between the two. What's the distance? And the farther distance, the less communication, which means worse reaction time, right? So in what you're saying is it's all about how close can I get the vehicles together without hitting each other. Because the closer, the better for communications to say where I'm at, and it's safer that way. But you're not off topic. Military's using the ground ones right now. They're testing that whole convoy operations.
Well, they'd be nuts if they weren't. I mean, they'd be incompetent if they weren't. That's clearly where things are going. And
less manpower, less risk, right?
Yeah. It reduces that risk, and at the same time, it gives us more options.
That's right.
Though it could get to the point that all there are is a bunch of drones fighting each other.
Yeah, which is why it comes down to energy. How do I get energy to the front line? Which is crazy, right? Before you're thinking, how do I get beans and bullets to the front line?
Yeah.
Now it's going to be, how do I get something to recharge the batteries to the front line?
And who knows, the final charge may be when you run out of drones before I run out of drones.
Yeah. Go back to the World War I mentality.
Yeah.
Of who has the most drones in production that can get to the front line and destroy the rest of everybody else's?
This is amazing. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing drones with Jeremy Latchlaw. Jeremy, the smaller drones have got to be almost unstoppable because something that's moving that fast, unless you're shooting at it with a shotgun, you know, at fairly close range, you're not going to be able to hit it, I don't think. Right. I sure wouldn't want to with a pistol or a rifle. So these things are both for combat or in domestic use, but particularly combat, almost unstoppable as long as they don't run out of power.
Yeah, so there are systems that do counter these, right, other than shotguns. Shotguns work. They've been known to work. Farmers use it a lot to shoot down some guy's drone in the field, which, by the way, is not legal. You shouldn't be doing that, but call your police department and try to get the guy to stop flying his drone around you, but for the military-wise, there's different ways that we do it, and this is starting to show up in the civilians' world as well. Number one is jamming, right? How do I get the frequency of this thing? So every drone has some sort of command station and the actual aircraft itself. If you break that link between the two, then that drone has to make a decision. Do I fly off and go to nowhere? Do I fly home, or do I just stay and hover until my battery dies? So that's basically the jamming mechanism. Or can I override it? Right? And just take it over. So if you look at a lot of the news with some of our military has lost drones, a lot of times it's gotten taken over or some form through communication channels. Uh-huh. Just take it and then crash it. Spoofing's a good one. Spoofing's where you just basically counter the drone and say, hey, I'm your new command center, right? And I'm going to tell you now what to do. So that's another form that's been going on. And then lasers. Everybody loves to talk about lasers. So can I zap these things down with a high-intensity laser? Absolutely. That's what a lot of the defense contractors are developing right now, is get one of these things on a Humvee or any kind of truck like that and zap them.
Okay, so those are the things you can do. Jer, we're about out of time. Talk to us about your company. If people wanted to get in touch with you, learn more, how can they get in touch with you?
So the easiest way is the website, MacatawaUS.com, MacatawaUS.com, and just give us a call or email.
That's pretty simple, and if you don't remember that, Jeremy's a friend of mine. He's on my speed dial. Just email me, contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com, and I'll hook you up with him. Because this is certainly the wave of the future, or it's the present and the future. I wish it weren't, because those darn things bug me, but we got to be real, and it's real. Jeremy, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. I appreciate you, bro.
Hey, thanks.
Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, we're going to discuss the amazing Beezy Board. Then we get to open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Start with a dozen with each arm. Then stand at ease, but do stay in the area. I'll be right back. As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with DECA to provide Freedom's Choice and home-based products to our commissary patrons around the world.
These brands allow our military service members, veterans, and their families to stretch their commissary benefit, offering you quality you expect and the savings you deserve.
Through Freedom's Choice and Home Base, we're serving our best.
Sliding around in sock feet is a pretty common activity in a Fisher house. You see, every year, thousands of kids stay here to be close to a wounded mommy or daddy receiving care at a military or VA medical center. It's a place where they can feel at home when they're not, and where kisses and hugs are only minutes away instead of time zones, which, for a kid with a soldier as a parent, is an unfamiliar luxury. To learn more about the Fisher House Foundation and how you can help, go to fisherhouse.org today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is welcoming the President of Brazil to the White House today, and a joint news conference is expected in the Rose Garden. Speaking inside the Oval Office today, though, President Trump says all options remain on the table regarding Venezuela.
The death and the destruction and the hunger. Hard to believe one of the wealthiest countries is now one of the poorest and most impoverished countries.
Iowa Senator Republican Joni Ernst will join Vice President Mike Pence in Nebraska to tour flood-damaged areas. At least four people are dead in Iowa and Nebraska from the historic Midwest floods. In Des Moines, Republican Governor Kim Reynolds praised Iowans for helping each other to cope with what's happening.
Iowa's like no other place. We adapt, we solve, and we excel in very difficult times. And there's no doubt in my mind that we'll recover as a state, and Iowans will rebound stronger than ever.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Restore your vehicle's lost power by cleaning your entire fuel system with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Right now, buy one bottle, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Keep your engine clean and improve performance with Chevron Techron Fuel System Cleaner. Buy one, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%, APR 4.78%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions, troops. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. It's a privilege to welcome to the show Paul Frazier and Grant Scherer. They're BZ Trance Systems, and they have a device that can really be helpful to injured or disabled veterans, actually all kinds of people. It's so amazing, I had to have them on the show. So welcome to the show, Grant.
Thank you, Danny.
Paul, glad you're here.
Nice to be here, Danny.
Okay, Paul, you're an owner of the company. Tell us about your background and where the idea came from to create BZ boards and whatever else you guys make.
Our company was a packaging company, and we were doing packaging for the BZ Trans system in Lake Forest, Illinois. And they would send us invoices from Lake Forest, Illinois, up to Minneapolis, where we would fill the orders and we would ship them out all over the world. And then there came an opportunity, and I've been doing this now for 20 years. So there came an opportunity for us to purchase the company. And we purchased the company, and here from now on, it's becoming a great asset, and it's also becoming a great motivator for people who are in wheelchairs or what have you. It can really help people throughout the world and the United States. Our motive here at BZ Boards is independence, and that's what we're trying to make people be, is more independent and more freedom to their life.
You know, I totally agree with you. When I first heard about it, I sort of thought, what is going on here? And the more I looked into it, the more I saw independence, freedom, self-control of your life. And I thought, wow, there's nothing goofy about that. That's what everybody wants.
No.
The more hurt or disabled you are, the more important that is to you.
Okay. Correct. You're absolutely right. And how it came to be was there was a man in Lake Forest, Illinois, named Robert Branchman. He's the one who invented the device. His wife had a very terrible disease that left her with no mobility. So what he wanted to do was he wanted to create a device that could make her life a lot better and give her more freedom and independence in her life. So he was trying the straight boards, and they wouldn't work lifting, tugging, pushing. It just wasn't the right thing. And the Hoyer lift, they were too bulky and too heavy, and so it was kind of a mess to put her into a Hoyer lift. So he decided to come up with a device that would really make it easier on her, and he did. He came up with this device, and that only made her more independent and more freedom and more security in her transfer, but it also helped him.
Yeah.
And then when it helped him, and it helped people all, and now it's helping people all over the world to enjoy the freedom and independence that they can get with this device.
And it's amazing, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, Grant, tell us about your background and your role in the company.
I just recently joined the company, Danny, and the reason I joined the company is it's a relatively small company with an awful lot of very good people. It's small. Linda, Paul, Cliff, the principals in the company are just wonderful people, and they really care about the product that they're putting out and how the product does help people. And so I joined the company basically because of how much I really like the people that are behind it, just really good people. It's a really wonderful, wonderful product. And, you know, does the things that it's supposed to do. My background is sales and marketing, and I've joined the team to try to, you know, create greater awareness of this product nationally and internationally for BZ Trans Systems.
Well, that makes sense. And I'll tell you what, I am so amazed at what BZ Boards can do. It's amazing. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing BZ Boards with Grant Scherer and Paul Frazier. I was thinking about this. To have independence, to be able to get to a chair, to get into your car, to be able to get in the bathroom on your own.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. And that's ignoring how much better it is for my wife not to have to be involved in helping me with that. So we're both winners.
It's significant primarily for both the patient and the caregiver, Denny. The patient themselves, if they're being transferred on a standard wooden board, it can lead to problems, skin irritation, skin rashes, skin pain, injury, because you have to lift and try to manipulate. And it's an effort. And frankly, for the caregiver, there's significant back injuries that can happen. You know, caregiving, nurses, and things like that, they have a high percentage of back injuries that happen having to lift and try to maneuver people from a chair to a bed, a chair to a bathroom. With the BZ transfer board, there's a seat that glides freely across the top of the transfer board, and it allows the caregiver to not have to lift, but they can place and simply transfer because the seat itself glides smooth across the top of the transfer board and moves the patient from point A to point B and back again.
Yes, and we stress very highly, no lifting. It's all about guiding and gliding. That's all it's about is BZ board, is guiding, gliding, no lift, and the most important word in the company is independence. That's the most important word. Because when you see people who can do this on their own, who have limited mobility, it's amazing how well, and it's a learning curve, but it's amazing how well people adapt to this device. And again, the caregivers alone, it cuts down on workman's comp referrals too. So it helps the insurance companies too when they have to file for workman's comp because this board promotes no lifting.
You know, this is beyond well thought out. This is something that is just amazing. I mean, I have a mental picture. My wife couldn't help me. I weigh way too much for her to do anything, so I'd have to have somebody else come in the house if it was me. But with this, we can live as normal a life as injuries or damage will permit. Wow.
And the caregiver alone, I mean, it helps the caregiver so much, you know, the family members or the caregiver or the nurse's aides, that it's amazing. When I first started working with the BZ, I was just astonished. I was at a show once called the Abilities Expo. And just to see people using this, they'd never heard of it before, and just to have them come into my booth and watch us demonstrate it, and then they would use it, and they would at the show. And the smiles on their faces that they could now, wow, we found something that we can use by ourselves, that we can use it for independence and be more free and secure, you know. It's really something to see. It's really cool.
Guys, that is absolutely amazing. We're about out of time. How can listeners who want to know about BZ boards, how can they get them? Because you've got a special deal for veterans and military families, don't you?
Go ahead, Grant.
We do, and thanks, and we do, Denny. First of all, we've got a national dealer network. We've got dealers everywhere. You just literally need to go into your search engine on your computer and just search for BZ boards, and you'll see, you know, a large network of dealers that carry the transfer board and the additional product line, the accessories that we carry, gait belts and cushions and things like that as well. But what we'd like to offer your listeners, Denny, great group of people that we support, love our veterans.
Yep.
We'd like to offer, there's a very, very nice carrying bag that's a $40, $50 value that we would like to go ahead and extend that to your listeners, your veterans, their families. They just literally can go online, they can buy one, they can go to anywhere, like I said, in terms of that dealer network. And once they get their receipt offline, we would just literally ask them to go ahead and email that to us, that receipt, a copy of that receipt, at support@bzboards.com, and we're going to immediately ship them out a very nice carrying case that they can put their transfer board in free of charge.
That's a pretty darn good deal. So just
it is, sir.
Go online and find a dealer and get one. Now, the worst thing that's going to happen to you is you're going to get a free carrying bag, right?
Exactly. And our website to get more information is www.bzboards.com. That's B-E-A-S-Y, boards.com. And, you know, give us a call, too, at 1-877-992-3279 with any questions. Again, we would welcome comments and help you out any way that we can.
And also, I did want to say, Denny, before we go, BZ Board loves their veterans. And you guys do so much for our country. And we back you guys 100% on whatever you guys do. We love you guys all. The BZ Board loves it, loves their veterans, and we do too.
Gents, thank you. Thank you for joining us today, for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your practical efforts to help the injured among us, particularly the vets. I appreciate you. Thank you, Grant.
You betcha.
Bless you all, and thank you.
And thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Colonel.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be at about 100 pounds by now. Do an even 100 bench presses, 10 at a time. I want your ranger ready, then stand at ease.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs entirely online. Flexible scheduling makes these programs convenient for working professionals. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's granting public college in the South. Online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
I started going cold turkey, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it.
Do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is BobBurnsSpeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's first this week?
Jerry, a Marine vet from Georgia, liked the discussion on the southern border. He feels it's a real crisis. He's looked at his state's finances, and they're spending billions of dollars on illegal aliens, from educating their children to welfare to imprisoning felons.
Well, Jerry, you hit the nail right on the head. You're right. Imagine how many billions of dollars we taxpayers are paying to support illegals while we have needs for children and a huge debt. Oh, and we need a wall.
Carrie really appreciated the Help Vet program you discussed. She plans to check it out.
Carrie, you're right on. Check it out to see if it meets some or all of your needs, and let me know if it worked for you. This is the time we take to honor the life and service of a veteran who's no longer with us. James Conrad Powers graduated from high school and attended the Merchant Marine Academy for a year before he decided he really wanted to be in the Army, and he gained an appointment to West Point. Jim was a true Iowa farm boy. He grew up with the family's 150-acre farm. It was a huge endeavor, which besides several crops, had a large dairy herd, including beef, cattle, hogs, chickens, and later sheep. According to family lore, it was the sheep that caused his decision to become a soldier. I'd like to know about that. At West Point, Jim was a very active cadet. Besides playing lacrosse, he was a member of the Honor Committee, the HOP, which is Dance Committee, Russian Club, Catholic Chapel, Acolytes, Catholic Choir, the Outdoor Sportsman's Club. Following graduation, Jim was commissioned in the infantry after Airborne and Ranger schools. His first assignment was Fort Lewis, Washington, where he met and married Ann Wilson. Not unexpectedly, orders to Vietnam came a few months after their wedding. He served as a general's aide for the first 6 months in country, all the time hoping he would have a chance to command a company. His wish came true, and he assumed command of Company C, 3rd of the 8th Infantry. About a month before his tour was up, he's leading his company up a steep hill to link up with another company. He stopped briefly to give his troops a break, but suddenly found himself in close combat with an enemy that was planning an ambush. Jim was killed resisting the first wave of the enemy attack. He was awarded the Silver Star, the Purple Heart, and the Soldier's Medal for his gallantry. Rest in peace, Jim Powers.
He paid the ultimate price.
He did. Okay, Skip, it's time for military history. Take us there, dude.
On 22 March 1820, Navy officer Stephen Decatur was mortally wounded in a duel with disgraced Navy Commodore James Barron at Bladensburg, Maryland. Although once friends, Decatur sat on the court-martial that suspended Barron from the Navy and later opposed his reinstatement. Decatur grew up in the traditions of the sea and joined the Navy as a midshipman. 5 years later, during the Tripolitan War, he became the most lauded American naval hero since John Paul Jones. In 1801, President Thomas Jefferson ordered Navy vessels to the Mediterranean in protest of continuing raids against U.S. ships by pirates from the Barbary States. Sustained action began in June 1803, and in October, the U.S. frigate Philadelphia ran aground near Tripoli and was captured by Tripolitan gunboats. The Americans feared that the well-constructed warship would be used as a model for building future Tripolitan frigates. And on February 16, 1804, Stephen Decatur led a daring expedition to destroy the captured vessel. After disguising themselves as Maltese sailors, Decatur's force sailed into Tripoli Harbor and boarded the Philadelphia and the Tripolitan guards. After setting fire to the frigate, Decatur's team escaped with no losses. In August 1804, Decatur returned to Tripoli as part of a larger offensive and emerged as a hero again during the Battle of the Gunboats, which saw hand-to-hand combat. In 1807, Commodore James Barron, who fought alongside Decatur in the Tripolitan War, failed to resist a British attack on his flagship, the Chesapeake. Decatur sat on the court-martial that expelled Barron from the Navy for 5 years. In June 1815, Decatur returned to the Mediterranean to lead U.S. forces in the Algerian War, the Second Barbary Conflict. By December, Decatur forced the ruler of Algiers to sign a peace treaty that ended American tribute to Algeria. Appointed to the Navy Board of Commissioners, Decatur became a prominent citizen. In 1818, however, he vocally opposed Barron's reinstatement into the Navy. The already strained relationships between the two men deteriorated, and Decatur agreed to Barron's request to meet for a duel. Dueling was still acceptable among Navy men. On March 22, Decatur and Barron fired, and each man hit his target. Decatur died. Barron recovered from his wounds and was reinstated into the Navy in 1821 with diminished rank. What a tangled web we weave, right?
Yes, and I wonder if we would be good if we kept dueling alive. And on 19 March 2003, the U.S., along with coalition forces primarily from Britain, initiated war on Iraq. Just after explosions began to rock Baghdad, Iraq's capital, President Bush announced in a televised address, quote, "At this hour, American and coalition forces are in early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger," end quote. President Bush's team built much of their case for the war on the idea that Iraq, under dictator Saddam Hussein, possessed or was in the process of building weapons of mass destruction, which was reasonable as Saddam had used weapons of mass destruction several times in the previous decade. Though Saddam had declared in early March 2003 that it is without doubt that the faithful will be victorious against aggression, he went into hiding soon after the invasion. Coalition forces were able to topple his regime and capture Iraq's major cities in just 3 weeks, sustaining very few casualties. President Bush declared an end to the major combat operations on May 1, 2003. However, despite the defeat of conventional military forces, an insurgency has continued and an intense guerrilla war in that nation in the years since military victory was announced, resulting in thousands of coalition military insurgent and civilian deaths. And it's still going on. Well, that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for the Armed America Report. Take us there, dude.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, acting on the trick in Trick or Treat, a criminal in New Haven, Connecticut, took the Halloween saying to a tragic extreme. Walking down the street, a local resident was approached by a stranger who said, "Happy Halloween," before stabbing the victim. The pedestrian's cousin was waiting in a nearby car and stepped out of the vehicle to intervene and was stabbed as well. The cousin drew his firearm and shot the assailant in the chest, killing him.
Thanks, Colonel. Knife attacks are on the rise here in America and around the world, so let's talk about the best way to survive a knife attack. First, let's go over the advantages of a knife over a firearm. One, it is quiet. Shoot someone with a gun and people hear it and call police, but a knife is just as deadly, but also silent. Two, a knife never runs out of ammo, so you never have to reload. You just keep stabbing until you've decided to stop or until someone else stops you. And three, knives are easily obtained. You can walk into any dollar store and pick up a deadly weapon for just a few bucks, and they are legal to possess, and the purchaser doesn't need to pass a background check. Okay, now, what are the disadvantages of a knife over a gun? Well, there really is only one, but it is significant. A knife is a proximity-based weapon, meaning that the attacker has to be able to grab you before they can stab you. This means that if you can outrun the attacker, then by all means do so. When you are attacked with a knife, don't try to disarm unless you are highly trained in martial arts, specifically in disarmament tactics. Actors make it look easy on TV, but that's not real life. Put an obstacle between you and the knife. In this case, a car would have been perfect. make the attacker chase you around the vehicle until help arrives. Of course, if you have your gun, then now would be the time to draw and shoot. In this scenario, both the victim and the rescuing cousin were stabbed, one in the bicep and the other in the elbow. You can survive a cut to the extremities, but a stab to the chest is more likely to be fatal. The 24-year-old cousin, who was armed, fought through his injury and was able to draw his gun and shoot the attacker in the chest. The bottom line is this: never underestimate a knife attack. They are every bit as deadly as a gun. Always create distance and put obstacles between you and the knife. To learn more about how to survive a knife attack, do a Google search on the Tooler Drill, which shows that a person within 21 feet can attack successfully with a knife before you can draw your gun and shoot. Tooler is spelled T-U-E-L-L-E-R. That's Tango, Uniform, Echo, Lima, Lima, Echo, Romeo.
So he shouldn't have tried to shoot the knife out of his hand?
Exactly right.
Good. Our movie of the month is Thailand Untapped. It's really an unusual movie. Please go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd really appreciate getting your input. Our book giveaway for this week is Michael Ames' book, American Cipher, about Bo Bergdahl and Afghanistan. To get in on the drawing, send me an email to denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com and put American Cipher in the subject line. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Major General Carl Horst, the CEO of the Medal of Honor Foundation. National Medal of Honor Day is March 25th. And musician and patriot Ted Nugent will discuss being a proud American.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Have a happy St. Patty's Day, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
Mike Hewitt here. Who would have guessed a country that provides more for more people than any other country now or in human history because of capitalism would be steeped in debate over socialism, especially given the indisputable failures of socialism? Our media is the only constitutionally protected enterprise in America. With that comes a tremendous responsibility to be anchored in truth, the entire and complete truth. They're not interviewing immigrants from Honduras, Guatemala, or El Salvador, asking why they risked all to leave socialistic economies. They're not seeking out Venezuelan, Cuban, or former Soviet citizens to inquire how that worked out for them. Come on, journalists, give us the unvarnished, unbiased, entire truth. Let us decide. The American people are smarter than you think. And teachers, you have a responsibility beyond your own politics as well. Agree or disagree, find the Mike Hewitt Show on Facebook and tell us what you think.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
We call on members of the Venezuelan military to end their support for Maduro, who is really nothing more than a Cuban puppet, and finally set their people free.
President Trump with the Brazilian president by his side at a joint news conference at the White House. President Trump continued,
"As I told President Bolsonaro, I also intend to designate Brazil as a major non-NATO ally, or even possibly, if you start thinking about it, maybe a NATO ally."
Vice President Mike Pence is touring parts of the Midwest that have been damaged by flood areas. At least four people are dead in Iowa and Nebraska from the historic Midwest floods. Nebraska Republican Senator Ben Sasse on what his state needs the most.
"So right now we're still in the response phase. What we need is no more rain and lots of neighbors helping neighbors right now."
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Copays, codes, coupons. Searching for savings on prescriptions is so complex, it's like you need a doctorate degree. Fortunately, CVS Pharmacy employs thousands who have one, our pharmacists. Plus, we built a proprietary search tool to help them find you savings on prescriptions. You don't need to know all of that complicated stuff. You just need to know someone who does. Your friendly doctor of pharmacy at your local CVS. Savings vary. Not all patients eligible for savings. Ask pharmacist for details.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.5%, APR 4.78%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 33.
A fire near Houston, Texas, continues to burn. With more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Authorities say a chemical fire at the Intercontinental Terminals Company facility near Houston could burn for two more days. But Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo claims air quality near the fire remains acceptable.
"Right now what we're seeing is no elevated levels because the plume is high enough that it's not affecting us here close to the ground."
Congress is set to vote next week on an override of President Trump's veto of a resolution aimed at terminating his national emergency declaration on the U.S.-Mexico border. Republican Congressman of Arizona Andy Biggs tells Fox News if anyone doesn't believe there's a crisis on our border,
"We're now down to catching maybe one in three. So we're on pace to catch a million people this year, stop a million people entering this country. That means that you're going to have about 3 million attempt to enter this country this year."
The congressman was speaking there on Fox News, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Twitter is being sued by a Republican congressman. More from USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky.
California Congressman Republican Devin Nunes suing Twitter for alleged anti-conservative bias. The congressman filing a 40-page lawsuit against Twitter in Virginia State Court, Twitter not commenting on the case.
Digging a little bit deeper into this story, Congressman Nunes is saying that he's being shadow banned by Twitter. Fox News technology contributor Brett Larson explains shadow banning.
The shadow banning is when you are sending out tweets as you normally would, and they're appearing in your timeline, but they're not necessarily appearing on other people's timeline. So the effect is that your message isn't reaching as large of an audience as you potentially could reach. That we've heard these accusations now for several years now, since the 2016 presidential election. Twitter's response to that has been very matter-of-fact. That is not something that they do. A lot of times what's happening in these situations where people's tweets get banned or their tweets don't get the sort of level of exposure as other tweets, it could have something to do with words that they're using, phrases that they're using. And since all of this is being handled by a computer and not a person, it's an algorithm. Joe's not sitting at a computer going, "Not this tweet, not this tweet."
And finally, listen up if you like heading to Burger King, as they have a new promotion where they're offering a subscription service for $5 a month. You can get a small coffee every day. That works out to just under 17 cents a cup. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.